If I were to say, describe your prayer life, what would be your response? Notice I didn't ask you, how do you pray? What is your prayer life? How is your life a life of prayer? And please don't tell the lie that my work is my prayer. That is an easy way to say whatever I do is prayer. And it's like, no, unless you have God first in your life, that's what it has to be. I've said this before, and it is obvious that the first thing that breaks down in any relationship is communication, right? If you do not talk, how do you know a person? If you do not pray, how do you know God? We all know how to communicate. By the way, does everyone have their cell phones off? I've noticed this recently that I have not been disturbed during Mass for quite a while from with a distracting cell phone ringing. It actually happened to me once in a small chapel during daily Mass. As I was about to say the words of consecration, a very loud ringtone. I mean, I just stopped. And of course, somebody was struggling to find it and couldn't open their purse. And it's like, after about a minute, I'm just standing there waiting. And so finally, the ringing stopped. And then I continued with the Mass. And then somebody came up to me after Mass and said, Father, your silence was deafening. I had no intention of embarrassing the person, but I am not going to continue if there is something distracting me. Back to the point, though. I think we've all learned how to silence our electronic devices. The tendency now is to let everything go to voicemail and we will answer it later, right? Everyone does that now, right? What happens when we return the call? We try to call the other person. Where do we end up? Right back in voicemail. In today's modern technology-filled society, we interconnect more, but we interrelate less. One-sided conversations, a half-duplex relationship. Is this how our relationships are with our family and friends? What about God? You know, He talks to us all the time. It's been a while since I said this, but, you know, He talks to us all the time in the small whispers of our lives. He's speaking to you right now. Are you paying attention? And if you're not, He'll pick up a 2x4 and whack you upside the head just to get your attention. It will happen. There will be some significant event in your life, and that is God talking to you. How you respond will be an indication of the depth of your faith and the strength to carry the cross that's been entrusted to your care. Within our familial relationships, within the structure of the family, the domestic church, the most important place to gather is at table. Table fellowship is vital in our relationships with one another. We share a meal together. You share your lives together. You feed your bodies with food and your hearts with love. Ask yourself, when was the last time that everybody in your family sat down together for this simple family tradition with no cell phones? Our celebration of the Mass is a gathering for a meal to feed our souls and our hearts with His love. His love. It is powerful. And you know what? We do this every single day. That's the beauty of our church. We offer Mass every single day. Even when we were in quarantine and the church doors were closed, we were still celebrating Mass every single day, making the presence of Jesus substantial body, blood, soul, and divinity every single day. And our requirement is only to attend Mass once a week, right? Keep holy the Lord's Day. Once a week, we gather for this awesome meal. Lasts about an hour. What about the other 167 hours in the week? What are you doing then? Describe your prayer life. Paul writes to the Romans, "Brothers and sisters, the Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes with inexpressible groaning. In confirmation, we receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit to do powerful things in Jesus' name, to be set on fire." You all know how to pray. Parents taught you how to say the prayers, "Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be," how to make the sign of the cross. These are the most powerful, basic, formulaic prayers that we have, and we say them every single day. And if we aren't, well, guess what? That's a starting point. Oftentimes in the confessional, when I'm providing spiritual guidance, I say, "Father, I'm having a hard time praying." Well, let's go back. Cell phone giving you problems, what do? You shut it off and you start up. You reboot, right? You have to reboot your prayer life. I also recall one time a person came to me for spiritual direction. "Father, I'm having a hard time praying." "Well, tell me," I asked the question, "tell me about your prayer life." "Well, I attend daily Mass, I attend Eucharistic adoration, I pray the rosary every day, the chaplet of divine mercy, litany of the hours." And by the time they got to their second hand, I said, "Stop! You're praying too much." You laugh, but if all you do is count pieces of plastic on a string just to get through the day, then you're not really praying. Resets, start over. "Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be," done deliberately, in quiet meditation, slowly, every single day. And pun intended, do it religiously. You'd be amazed how your prayer life can start to reset. And then you build from there. That rosary you got on your rearview mirror, take it off. Use it. I commuted DC traffic for 22 years. And you know what got me through traffic? The rosary. I had one of those CDs, you know, that played the music and announced the mysteries, very prayerful, and got through. It took me about 20 minutes to get through the rosary, and you flip, and then you went to the next track, and it was the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, and that took another 20. So 40 minutes right there. It was awesome. Hard to have road rage when you're calling on the Blessed Mother to pray for you. And if you can't remember the mysteries of the rosary, Google it. It's that simple. You know what the easiest way to pray is? Just talk to Him. "You know what, Lord? I've had a bad day today. You know, I wanted to go outside and enjoy the nice day, but You made it rain. You know, I stepped in a puddle. Saint once said, got thrown from my horse, got thrown from my carriage, right into the mud. No wonder why you have so few friends." Remember the four types of prayers? The four types. Don't remember? You can ask the sister. She's right in the back there. Just remember the acronym ACTS. A-C-T-S. A-C-T-S. First one, adoration. Giving glory and praise to God. Adoration. Contrition. Being sorrowful for your sins. Thanksgiving, giving thanks for the many gifts in your lives. I once saw a church marquee that said, if you woke up tomorrow morning with only the things you were thankful for the previous day to God, what would you have? Often the penance I give for people who confess the sin of jealousy or envy, I say, pick out 3 or 4 things that you have received in your life and give thanks to God for them. Let me start your list for you. You were born. You have Jesus as your Savior. It kind of puts things into perspective, right? And then finally, supplication. Asking for God's favor for things you need in our lives. We do that every time we pray the universal prayer, the prayer of the faithful, to ask God to help us. Remember, A-C-T-S. Adoration, contrition, thanksgiving, and supplication. You need to be in a relationship with Jesus. You need to have Mary's intercession. You need to talk to them and to quote a famous sports company, just do it. Just do it. It's that easy. Spend some time in adoration. Now, this is the most difficult form of prayer, contemplative prayer. Can you sit quietly in front of our Lord, in front of the Blessed Sacrament? There he is on the altar. And you know what? I give you 5 minutes before you get distracted. It ain't easy. And sure enough, we default right back to the formulaic prayer. Yes, the formulaic prayers are wonderful. All the devotions that we have in the church helps keep the mind focused, but the mind requires discipline. That's why contemplative prayer does require a lot of discipline. Don't be shocked when I tell you this. I have a hard time praying in my own church. Too many distractions. Lights are on, the lights should be off, the air conditioning is on, the air conditioning is off. You know, Father, will you hear my confession? You're saying, ah. So I do actually need a quiet place to pray every once in a while. So pray over Scripture. Lectio Divina. I didn't address today's gospel because the parable is so very, very familiar. He spoke to them in another parable. Lectio Divina is a method of praying over Scripture. Again, this is another one of those disciplines. But take out your Bible, you know? I know you got one at home. You should. Remember, the 3 books you need in your theological library at home? The New American Bible. None of that King James stuff is missing a couple of books, okay? The New American Bible. That's the translation we hear at Mass. Catechism of the Catholic Church and a dictionary, okay? You get a lot of theological understanding through the dictionary. Okay, what is prevenient grace? What is an efficacious symbol, you know? When you unpack the meaning of words, by the way, that's the church packs a lot of meaning into words, such as parents have a grave responsibility to give good example to their children. You got to unpack the words. So Bible, catechism, dictionary. So praying over Scripture. Take a passage. Take this weekend's Scripture. Take one section, one little paragraph, and you read it once. You read it twice. You read it a third time. He spoke to them in another parable. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all those who cause others to sin and all the evildoers. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all those who cause others to sin and all the evildoers. Now you start to come interiorize the meaning of Scripture. The Son of Man, Jesus himself, will send his angels and collect out of his kingdom all those who cause others to sin and all the evildoers. Evildoers, those who cause others to sin, they will be vanquished. And of course, the ultimate teaching at the end of today's gospel, whoever has ears ought to hear. These are the words of God. You need to be in a relationship. You need to be in a relationship with God. Remember, the first commandment is God first. And when you come to confession, that should be the first sin you should confess. How I did not keep God first. Grow in your relationship with God. Grow in relationship with your family. Pray, speak, and hear.